Motzei Shabbos, Parshas, Vayigash, Hey Teves, Tavshin, Pehei. Baruch Hashem, we are starting Sefer Nehemiah. Nehemiah, as it appears in front of us, is a Sefer which spans 13 Prakim. We discussed in the introduction shiur to Ezra that in Chazal it's looked at as one long sefer, continuum from Ezra. Historically, at least according to the Malbim, Ezra is previous to Nehemiah, and Sefer Nehemiah is picking up where Ezra left off. In Chazal, we find that, and in the Rishonim, when they refer to things from Psukim and Sefer Nehemiah, they quote it as a pasuk from Ezra. It shows that it was one long Sefer in their mind, and there are even reasons given in Maseches Sanhedrin why it is that Nehemiah did not merit to have his Sefer written after his name. And perhaps we will get into that somewhat tonight. The first perek of Nehemiah is 11 psukim, if I'm not mistaken, which is not a very long perek. And it is the first step in the story of Sefer Nehemiah. So I'd like first to just go through the psukim in the perek tonight. And then once we understand the context and what's going on, so then try to go through the psukim more specifically. So let's first of all just read through the first psukim, which is the 11 first psukim in Nehemiah. Divrei Nehemiah ben Chachalia. Perhaps we'll point out some questions as we go through the psukim, things to think about. Divrei Nehemiah ben Chachalia. These are the words of Nehemiah ben Chachalia. And, welcome Rabbi Alexander. So David Vali asks a question that in Sefer Ezra, when Ezra is introduced, we are given a very complete lineage of Ezra's family. And this is very different than the pasuk introducing Nehemiah, where we're just told his father's name and we're not given a lineage. We counted then in Ezra 10 generations, and over here we're not given anything other than his father's name, just as he would be called up to the Torah, Nehemiah ben Chachalia. That's interesting. He's a major figure here. And he's only being, we're only hearing about his father and not about his family going way back. Vayhi b'chodesh kislev, shnas esrim, v'ani ha'isi b'shushan avira. So, where is Nehemiah? He's in Shushan HaBira. The Shushan HaBira is a very important place, being that we're talking in the time when the king is the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. The Malchus was in Shushan HaBira, and now after Ahasuerus, his son from Esther is also in Shushan HaBira. So this is the capital of the whole Persian Median Empire. And
what does Shanat Esrim mean?
This is the 20th year, and the question is 20th year from when?
Yeah.
The 20th year, and I don't have here the. Maybe it's over here. Say, what's the Masudah say?
The Malchus Dareovish Hapasi.
So it's the 20th year to the kingship of the son of Esther. Very good.
What Rashi says also.
Oh. Shanesh Srim
Najara Yoga
Shamela Shahu
are. Artak
Shasta. Isn't that the general name,
though?
But in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, Rashi brings Matzah.
Yeah, okay, there's a whole complication. We're not going to get into that. Those who want can look up in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says he doesn't understand what's going on. There's a very long Rashi here. Brings the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi.
I just prefer three words.
Rashi here has a whole discussion about it. One can try to figure it out about what's happening. But yes, it's a Gemara about it in Rosh Hashanah. But so it's the 20th year to King Daryavish. Ani Ayisi B'Shushan Abira. Ah. Pasuk Beis. V'yavo Hanani Echad Me Achai Hu Ve'Anoshim Yehuda. So people came and visited in Shushan Habira. Where did they come from? They came from Yehuda, from Eretz Yisrael, from the land of Yehuda, and they came and visited in Shushan. Now that's special. You have here a way to tap in and find out what's going on with the Jews back in Eretz Yisrael. So Nehemiah takes advantage of this opportunity. The Esh Aleim. So I asked Hanani and the other men that came with him, Ala Yehudim, about the Jews. Hapleta, the remnant, Asher Nisharu, who were left, Min HaShevi, from the Shevi, from the those who were left from the Shevi. The Shevi is the captives. Those captives who were left. So he asked about the Jewish captives that had been left, the remnant of the Jewish captives. And second question, what's going on with the city of Yerushalayim? Two questions he has. One about the remnant of the Jewish captives, and one about Yerushalayim. And the Mefarshim are very bothered. Why does he not just ask about the Jewish people who are in Eretz Yisrael? What is he specifically saying that he wants to know about the remnant of the captives? And they explain that there were three different groups of Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. When Nebuchadnezzar sent the Jewish people into Galus, and we learned there were different waves of Galus, but even after the final Galus, there were still some Jews left in Eretz Yisrael with Gedaliah ben Achikam. There were Jews left there to tend to the land and things like that. And some of those Jews were still there and never left. And the Rambam holds that this is very important la'alacha. The Rambam's shita is, you can't have the calendar the way we have it unless there was an ongoing group of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael from the time of Kiddush HaChodesh, from the time they're doing Kiddush HaChodesh until the present. And so here's a good raya to the Rambam that there was a Sheiris HaPleta. There were people who were left from the very beginning, and that's who he was asking about. But there were two other groups he wasn't asking about. And that was that we learned in Sefer Ezra that there were two times that the Jewish people, two waves of immigration from Babylonia to Eretz Yisrael. You had Zerubbabel first, and then afterwards Ezra. And during those two waves, they came back with a leader, with permission. And when they came back with permission to have a leader, so the leader ruled the Jewish community, and they were under his leadership, and they were not taken advantage of. On the other hand, the Jews who were there from the very beginning were not included in the jurisdiction of either Zerubbabel or Ezra, and they still were under the rule of whichever Goyim were there from that Sancheriv had sent in, and that were there in charge of the land from the time of the Chorban. And that is the group he was asking about. He's not worried about the group that's under the rule of Zerubbabel. He knows they're being taken care of by Zerubbabel. He's not worried about the ones who are under the rule of Ezra. They're being taken care of by Ezra. But what's with the original ones that have been there? And that's the Lashon of Yehudim HaPleta Asher Nisharu Min HaShevi, the ones who were left when everyone was taken captive into Babel. And they were left, that group, what's going on with them? That's question number one. Question number two, what's going on with Yerushalayim, the city? Vayom Reli. So these people from Eretz Yisrael told Nehemiah. So this is very interesting. Nehemiah, the way we see it, we're going to find out soon what his job was, but Nehemiah was a tzaddik in Bavel, but he wasn't taking a inspired leadership position for Klal Yisrael. And this story that we're reading right now is the pivotal changing moment in the life of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah becomes inspired to dedicate his life to helping Klal Yisrael and helping the city of Yerushalayim. He meets these people that came to visit from Yehuda. He asks them these two questions, and they say the following: Pasukim of Yomrili, Hanisharim Asher Nisharu Min Hashevi Sham BaMedina. That which you ask about those who were left from the captives in the state there in Yehuda, Bera Gedola Uvecherpa. They are in very bad straits and in great embarrassment. Says Rashi, Shehaumos Bozesim V'Sholalim Osam. They are regularly being plundered. The non-Jewish nations there are taking advantage of them and taking away their property, taking away their money regularly. So they're in a terrible state. They have no one to protect them. That's the answer to your question about the people there. That was the first question that was asked. First question was answered. Now, second question, what about Yerushalayim? So as to the city, the Choymas Yerushalayim mefoiretzes, and the Choyma of Yerushalayim is broken open. There's no proper wall standing around the city. It is broken down. Ushareha nitzesu va'esh, and the gates of Yerushalayim have been burned with fire. Now, what is it? What is specific about the gates more than the walls? So perhaps one can say that the gates would have wooden doors that would close the gates, and the giant wooden doors that close the city and make it that you could close the city even though there are gates have been burned, and there are no gates, so the it's open. The gate doesn't serve its purpose. If you have a gate with a drawbridge or a big wooden door with bolts, so you can protect the city, but the gates have been burned down. So the gates are not really closable, and therefore the city is not protected. So the walls of Yerushalayim are in destruction. And the Mefarshim say that it's not that this was something new. It's been this way since the destruction of Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, I appreciate that, thank you. It's been in that situation since the Churban Bayis Rishon. Ushareha nitzesu va'esh.
The Rabbak says that they didn't give them permission to rebuild the walls, just the
100%. The reason this is because everything that was being done to resettle the land and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash all had to be authorized. They had asked for permission to return. They were given permission to return. They asked for permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They were given permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They never asked to rebuild the walls, and they didn't rebuild the walls. They didn't get permission to rebuild the walls, so they did not rebuild the walls. So you had the walls still in the full view of the Chorban, of burned gates and broken down walls, and nope, not a protected city. And on the same time, you had a Beis HaMikdash that already was rebuilt, and the Avodah is being done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's significant in terms of the halachos, not so long before, in the time of Purim, when the halachas were created about how to keep the days of Purim, and the distinction was made between walled cities and unwalled cities, and we find a very strange halacha was created by Mordechai and the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that if you are celebrating Purim in a walled city, you have a different time, a different day to celebrate Purim than if you're in an unwalled city. Shushan HaBira was a walled city. Therefore, there's something called Shushan Purim. The Jews in Shushan had 2 days to destroy their enemies, and therefore they celebrate Purim after they had the second day, which is a day later than in the rest of the world. The rest of the day, world will celebrate Purim on first day of Purim is the 14th of Adar, and the walled cities like Shushan will celebrate it on the 15th. But surprise of surprises, surprise of surprises, even though they're trying to model Shushan, but the halacha was not made that anyone who's in a walled city of the time of Shushan, but rather a walled city from the time of Joshua, of Yeshua Binun. And the Ran finds this extremely puzzling. I think he even brings from the Ramban. What is going on here? Why was this the time given, that it's from the time of Yeshua Binun? And the answer is, because at the time of Shushan, which is the time we're talking about, it was only a few years before this, 20 some odd years before this, Yerushalayim would have been considered an unwalled city. And a walled city was considered an important city. And they did not want to disgrace Yerushalayim by making a halacha that for generations would place Yerushalayim as an unimportant, unwalled city.
On the 14th, and Shushan would be on the 15th.
That's right, exactly. And therefore they had to look for a line of demarcation, a specific time that would be considered an important time that would include Yerushalayim. Now they could have done it from the time of Shlomo HaMelech or David HaMelech, but they said, we'll do it from the time of Yeshua Binun, any city that's walled from the time of Yeshua Binun, or Shushan. Shushan was not walled from the time of Yeshua Binun, but Shushan has its own...
How do they know Yerushalayim had a wall around it?
The Yevusi had a wall around it.
Yevusis were there?
Yes, Yerushalayim was under the rule of the Yevusi until it was taken over in the time of David HaMelech. So... that is exactly what we're talking about, that the walls of Yerushalayim were in destruction. It was a walled city, but the walls were broken down. So there was remnants of the wall. Now this very wall, if you would get in a cab right now or in your car and drive for about 12 to 15 minutes down the highway, you can look at this wall. It's still there. The wall of Beis Rishon, there are different places in the old city. You can see the wall of Beis Rishon.
I thought there was a Turkish wall.
Not the walls that are around the old city, that not the walls that you see when you go next to Shar Yafo. But there are a number of places you can see the walls of the Beis Rishon.
I've never found it, but apparently around there.
I went to the one next to the gas station in the Arab area, but you can see it near the Chor Bashul in the main kikar?
Square.
The main square in the Jewish quarter of the old city. If you're coming from the Kosel before you get to the Chor Bashul, instead of hanging a left towards the Chorba, you just go straight. On your right side, you can see the wall from Beis Rishon. There's a big map of it there, and you can see there's a map of what it looked like, where it covered, and you can look at it. This is the wall we're talking about, and this wall was in shambles. Okay, so let's get back to this. That was the answer to Nehemiah's question. He was very disappointed, and he was aghast to hear about the terrible situation for the Jewish people that were there, that were not under the Zerubbabel or Ezra control, and about the shambles of the walls of Yerushalayim. Pasuk Dalet, Vayhi Kishami Es Advarim Ha'ele. Now, this is a very powerful pasuk, because this is really the there's a word for it, when a person has like a epiphany, is that the word? Is that the word? Rechezko. What's the word epiphany mean?
It comes to you like...
This is the moment. This is the changing moment in Nehemiah's life, right here. How does he respond to this? When he hears this, he is so shaken to his core. Look at what he says. Vayhi. Vayhi, Chazal says, Lashon Tzar, usually. Vayhi. Kishom'i es hadvarim ha'elim. And I heard these things. Yashavti, I sat down, I couldn't keep standing. Va'evke, and I started bawling. Va'es abla yamim, and I did avelos. I acted as a mourner, yamim, for days. Va'ehitzam, and I put myself in a fast. Umispalel lifnei elokei hashamayim, and I prayed to the God of heaven, V'oimar, and I said, Ana Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, Hakel, Hagadol, the Hanoira, the great and mighty Shomer HaBris, the one who keeps true to his commitment to Klal Yisrael, the Chesed, and he does Chesed, the Oavav, to those who love him, L'shomrei mitzvosav, to those who keep the mitzvahs. Tehi na oznecha kasheves, ve'einecha pesuchos, hear and see, lishmoya el tfilas avdecha, to hear the prayers of your servant, asher anochi mispalo lefanecha hayoim, that I am praying to you today, yoimam v'layla, day and night, I'm praying this prayer for you, al bnei Yisrael avadecha, about the Jewish people, your servants, the ones that are there in very bad straits. Umisvada al chatos bnei Yisrael asher chatanu lach, I am confessing for the sins of Klal Yisrael that have sinned to you, v'aniu beis avi chatanu, and myself personally and my father's home, we all have sins. And I confess, and I'm doing tshuva. Chavol chaval nulach. We have literally chavol chaval nulach. A chavala is a wound, and the mefarshim say it does not mean here we wounded you. Chas v'shalom. There's no such thing about Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means
avoid.
Rashi says hashchasa, but what does it mean chavol chaval nulach? So the mefarshim say that it's as if Hashem gave us a pikadon, a object to watch, and we have responsibility to Him to watch that object. He gave us the mitzvos. So if a person misuses the pikadon that he was given, or he mistreats it, he's chovel in the pikadon, so he is, it's not that he's wounding or damaging the one that gave him the object to watch, but the object that he was giving, he wounded it. So that's what we mean. We were negligent towards you in the shmira of the mitzvahs. That's the next words. V'lo shamanu es ha-mitzvahs, es ha-chukim, es ha-mishpatim, asher tzivisa es Moshe avdecha. Zucharna es ha-davar asher tzivisa es Moshe avdecha. Leimor, please remember what you told Moshe Rabbeinu, atem tim alu ani afetz eschem ba'amim. When you, the Jewish people, rebel, then I will disperse you amongst the nations, which is what happened in Korban Bais Rishon. V'shavtem Eli, but then you'll do tshuva, which happened in the time of Esther. U'shmartem mitzvoisai, v'asisem oisam, im yiyen nidachechem b'kzeh ha-shamayim misham ha-kabtzeim, v'aviyoisim elam ha-kom ha-shev ha-charti, l'shakenish misham. And then I'll bring them back, which is what happened in the time of Zerubbabel, in the time of Ezra, in the time of Koresh, in the time of Daryavesh. So this has all been fulfilled. And these Jewish people are your nation who you have saved with your great and mighty hand, whether it refers to the saving from Mitzrayim or also in saving them from the galus of Babel. Ana Hashem tehina oznecha kasheves el tfilas avdecha vel tfilas avadecha ha'afchafetzim lira eshmecha. Please listen to my tefillah and to the tefillah of all your other servants who want to fear your name. V'hatzlicha na la'avdecha hayom, and help me specifically today, usnehu, and place him, we'll see who him is, lirachamim lifnei ha'ish hazeh, and place him in a merciful place in front of this man. We'll see who this man is. V'ani ha'isi mashkel ha-melech. And the afterthought, Nehemiah tells us, is I had the job to be the one who poured the cup of wine for the king. So who's Nehemiah referring to when he says, place him in mercy in front of the man? Him refers to himself. He davens to Hashem that he himself, Nehemiah, should be seen with mercy by the man. Who's the man? The king. Who's the king? Artaxasta. The king is Daryavesh, son of Achashverosh and Esther. He plans on making a very important speech to the king. He's going to pitch a sales pitch to the king to try to change the situation for the Jewish people who are there, who are not being protected by Ezra and Zerubbabel, and to change the situation of the walls of Yerushalayim. This is what Ezra is gearing up to do, and that is what he will do in the next perek. But that perek is not for this week. But this is the big turnaround in Ezra's, Nehemiah's. And this is the big turnaround in Nehemiah's life, where Nehemiah is inspired, and he says, I have to do something about this. And there's a giant muster lesson here. Nehemiah is inspired. He hears, first of all, number one, before he's inspired, he cared. Someone came from Yehuda. He came to Bavel. He didn't just say, oh, let me have you as a guest in my house. Let me, you know, do achnasas sarcha. He cared about Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim. He cared about Yerushalayim. He cared. That's the first step. The first thing is Nehemiah cared. He cared to ask them what's going on with them. And then, he didn't just let them say, oh, Baruch Hashem. No, no. What is going on with them? And when they said that it's bad, he took it to heart. He took it to heart, and he mourned, and he cried, and he fasted, and he prayed, and he said to Hashem, I'm going to do something about it, but I need you to help me. I am in the position to try to do something about it, because I have an in with the king. It's very hard to get to speak with the king. But being that I pour the cup of wine for the king, I see him every day. And it wasn't just because the king drank wine because he liked to get drunk. We know there was a time in history where wine was safe to drink, and water was not very safe to drink because it had bacteria in it, it could get sick from drinking the water. But wine with the alcohol was safer to drink. That was the normal thing that was drunk. So king, he's there all the time by the king pouring in wine. And he could speak to the king. Maybe it's not protocol for the person who pours the cup of wine to the king to start discussing with him Middle Eastern policy. But for that, he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give him favor in the eyes of the king. The opportunity to actually get in there and speak to him, he has. Is it deemed appropriate behavior? Is it a dangerous thing to start talking political decisions with the king when it's not your role? It's very dangerous. And back then, we know already from Esther, if you violate the king's rules in the Malchus in Achashverosh, Achas Dosu Lahamis, there's no fooling around over there. So it's not like Nehemiah was one of the Yoatzim of the Melech, like Ezra was. Ezra was one of the cabinet members who the king would ask for advice from. Ezra was. Nehemiah was not. Nehemiah was pouring the wine for the king. No one was asking him for his opinion about anything. He wasn't the court Jew who was supposed to be wise. He was just there. He said, you know, Hashem has put me here for a reason. And maybe there's a reason why I'm pouring the wine for the king. And he davened that Hashem should listen. And he didn't just daven once. He davened day and night. And he said, I'm going to take care of it hayom. I'm going to go in today. So that's another lesson we get from him. Number one, he cared to ask. Number two, he took to heart the answer. Number three, he thought about, what can I do about it? And said, what is the situation Hashem has put me in? What opportunities has Hashem provided me that I could use to do something for the good of the Jewish people and for Yerushalayim? And then he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him the ability to do this, and he said, I'm doing it today. I'm not going to wait for it to get stale. I'm getting on it right away. Wow, that's a lot of lessons from the first perek of Nehemiah. Now I want to read to you some mystical words of Rav David Vali that I don't understand, but perhaps will help us understand a little more. But before I read you these words, let me read you a Mishnah Berurah. We know that we have a number of days which are fast days for the Chorban of Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. One of them is coming up this week on Friday, Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is the only fast day that we fast on Friday. Shulchan Aruch says,
even on Shabbos.
Chayavim l'sanos b'tisha b'av b'shivasar b'tamuz b'gimel b'tishrei b'asara b'teves mipnei dvarim harayim sh'iru b'hem. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Hu midivrei neviim. This is an enactment of the prophets. It's referred to in a pasuk in Zechariah, Tzom ha-revi'i, v'tzom ha-chamishi, v'tzom ha-shvi'i, v'tzom ha-asiri. Amru Chazal, Tzom ha-revi'i, which is referred to in the pasuk, is the fast of the fourth month. What's the fourth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. That's Shivasar b'Tammuz. Tzom ha-chamishi is the fast of the fifth month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. That's Tisha B'Av. Tzom ha-shvi'i is the fast of the seventh month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Elul Tishrei. The seventh month is Tishrei. Which fast is on Tishrei? Tzom Gedalia. Tzom ha-siri. Now there's something very strange. What's the Tzom ha-siri? We'll see why it's strange in a minute. Tzom ha-siri is... What's the Tzom ha-siri? So if we follow like we did all the other ones, tenth month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves. Very good. We have a fast day on Teves. Now there's something different about Tzom ha-siri and all the other ones. All the other ones is only one way to understand the pshat in the words of the Navi. The Navi says the fast of the fourth. We don't have any fast on the fourth day of the month, so it must be the fourth month. The fast of the fifth. We don't have any fast on the fifth day of the month, so it must mean the fifth month. The fast of the tenth. Fast of the seventh. We don't have a fast on the seventh day of the month, so it must be the seventh month. But the fast of the tenth could mean one of two things, because it's the tenth month and the tenth day. These are new innovations, fasts created by the Nevi'im, so it doesn't refer to the tenth of Tishrei. That already says in Chumash. But the pasuk could either be referring to day 10 of the month or month 10 of the year. To make it parallel with all the other psukim, the simplest pshat is to say that it means Tzom ha-siri, the 10th month. Either way, it's definitely referring to Asara B'Teves. The question is it referring to just the month the same way it was referring to the other ones, or is it referring to also the day? Because it's also the 10th day. Kol Yira Yamim, Kol Yisrael Misanim Bahem, Mipnei Atzara Shiru Bahem. Why do we fast? So famous Rambam, the Mishmur brings the famous Rambam. Kedei le'orer halavavos lefakech al darkei hatshuva. The reason to fast is in order to get to a specific goal. So if the reason for the fast is to get to a goal, so imagine if we would just do the fast and not get to the goal, so we didn't get to the goal. That's not so complicated, right? But it's actually complicated. Because everyone is very careful not to eat on the fast day. But not everyone's very careful to get to the goal. What's the goal? Le'orer halavavos, to arouse the hearts. Lefakeach al darkei hatshuva, to oversee, to look and do a introspection about the ways of tshuva. Yiyezez ikarum lema'aseinu harayim. And we're meant to remember our evil ways. And then to think about what were the bad ways of our forefathers, meaning back in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in what way were they doing the same things we're doing now, which caused them, velanu, and what we're doing now caused us, osan atzaros, these tzaros of not having the Beis HaMikdash, shebizikaron advarim elu, that by remembering what they didn't know we're doing, nashuv lehetiv, we will turn around, we'll make a turnaround. The point of the tainus is to make a turnaround. That's the point of the tainus. To turn around and change our ways, to better our ways. K'mo sh'nemar, v'isvadu es avonam, v'savon avosam. Lachen chayav, Mishmur, very strong words over here. He's quoting here, at this point, he's quoting the Acharonim. After he quoted the Rambam, he says, Chayav. That means the Mishnah Berurah is saying it's an obligation. He's not saying it's good. He's saying it's an actual requirement. Chayav kol ish, every man is required on these 4 days of the year. Lasum elibo be'osan hayamim. He has to introspect on that, on those 4 days. Ulefashfesh b'maisav. And to search out, to feel out his maisim. The lush of Ben, and to actually do tshuva, to do vidui, charata, and kabbalah, alasid, to admit to Hashem for specific wrongdoings, make a plan, feel bad for it, and make a plan on how to change. Ki ein ha'ikra tainis! The point is not the fast day. The point is not the fast day. Mishra is like saying it as clear can be. He says, look at what it says about the people in Nineveh. With Yonah, Vayashem is Maseim, but they fasted. Why doesn't it say Hashem saw their fasting? Chazal say it doesn't say Hashem saw their fasting. It says Hashem saw their actions because they changed their actions. V'ein hatainis ella hachana l'tshuva, says the Mishnah Berurah. The tainis is not worth anything unless it is a preparation for tshuva. The whole point, 100% of the point of the tainus, is the tshuva. Mishpura says, "Ein hatainus ella hachana l'tshuva." It's nothing other than hachana for tshuva. By the way, it's a giant nafkamina. Let's say there's people who are putter from fasting. There are lots of people who are putter from fasting. A pregnant woman, a nursing woman, someone who's ill, someone who has a throbbing headache from these fast days. Tisha B'Av is more chamor, but the other three, they're putter from fasting. It doesn't potter them from the main point of the day. The fasting is meant to remind us to do tshuva. The chiyuv of tshuva is a chiyuv also on someone with a throbbing headache, and also on a nursing woman and a pregnant woman. They have the same chiyuv to do tshuva. It doesn't take away from that chiyuv. That is the main point of the fast. And Mishmur couldn't say it clearer. And he says, "Osam anashim shkshem misanim holchem b'tiul b'dvarim b'telim." Says he saw there are people that they take the tainus as a day off, so they use that day to take a tiul or to have leisure. He says they missed the boat. We come all come and lift our atzma b'tshuva b'levad, but don't come and tell me, okay, I'll just do tshuva, but I'll eat like regular. No. There's a takana fasting. There's a mitzvah to say midi b'neviim to fast. So what happened on Asar B'Teves that we're going to have this week? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Asar B'Teves, bo samach melech babel nebuchadnezzar rasha al Yerushalayim ve'hevia b'matzar u'b'matzok u'mizeh nimshach ha'chorban. It was the first step of the Chorban. It was the siege of Jerusalem. Why was there a siege on Yerushalayim? Why did they make a siege? Because there was a choma around Yerushalayim. You don't need to make a siege. If you have a city that is unprotected, without a wall, you don't have to make a siege. You could just go in and fight against them. But they couldn't get into the city because there was a wall protecting Yerushalayim. Because there was a wall, they had to lay a siege to the city. And when did they lay the siege? On the outside of the wall. They made the siege around the outside of the wall of Yerushalayim on Asar B'Teves. When is it that they actually broke the wall? When did they actually break into the wall? So that is on Shiva Asar B'Tamos. Hufka Ha'ir. Churban Bayis Sheni. Here's the question, when was it in Churban Bayis Rishon? But the topic of two of the fast days is the wall. One is the siege around the wall, and one is breaking into the wall. Tisha B'Av there destroyed the Beit HaMikdash itself. What is so important about the wall? Now let's look at Rav David Vali and what he says here about why was Nehemiah so distraught when he heard that the wall is in shambles.
Isn't there also something about the 8th and the 9th of Tevis?
Yeah. because of other things that happened then, right? So I'm going to read to you what he says here, and that's what we have time for today. Why is his name Nehemiah? Ki nisnachamu al yado bnei hagola bibinyan chomas Yerushalayim hamefu retzes. There was a consoling, a consolation for all of the Jewish people who were in the galus by the fact that he took upon himself to fix the broken wall. What's so important about that? Shebinyan hachoma hu ikar hakol. The wall of Yerushalayim is the main thing. Really? Me'achar sheheim ha'oros ha'mekifim ha'mashlimim es ha'binyan u'maginim me'achizas ha'chitzoinim. The wall around Yerushalayim is not just a physical wall. What is the wall around Yerushalayim? It's also a spiritual wall that protects Yerushalayim from achizas hachitzoinim. It's makif, it's around Yerushalayim, it's mashlim, the binyan. It's not enough to have the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. They had the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't shalem. Why? Because it didn't have a wall to protect it from outside influences. What did the Yevanim do when they came in to the Har HaBayis? They broke 13 places into the wall around the Beis HaMikdash, the Chayil, because they knew the wall protects from out, is also a spiritual wall that protects from outside influences and from the chitzonim, the koch satuma, from leeching onto the kedusha. And that is what
how they know so much.
They knew the scorecard, and that is what we say in on Tisha B'Av in Nachem. We'll end with this. In Nachem on Tisha B'Av, listen to the words. Now you'll understand better the words in Nachem on Tisha B'Av. Ata Hashem be'esh yitzata. Hashem, you ignited the flames. U'be'esh atas levnosa. And you're going to rebuild it with fire. Spiritual rebuilding. Ka'amor, as it says. Listen to the pasuk we bring. Ve'ani e'yelanu Hashem. In the time of the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash, Hashem says, I will be Chomas Eish Saviv. I, Hashem, will be the wall around Jerusalem. I will be the wall around Yerushalayim. How about that? So it all gets back to the wall, and it says in the Gemara that pasuk, that in the time of the Geula, Hashem is going to rebuild the wall of Yerushalayim and take the skin of the Leviathan, the Leviathan, and spread it over the wall. Spread it over the wall. Say the Mefarshim, the Leviathan is Milashim Leviah to accompany. It, the idea of the Leviathan is the Tainug that the Tzaddikim have of being close to the Shechina. The closest to the Shechina is going to be by the wall. The wall that is where all the outside influences are blocked off and are kept away. And without that, without blocking off the outside influences, we don't have a place for the Shechina. We don't have a place for the Kedusha. And we know the Ba'ai Sheini, they built it for sure at this point. The Yesh La'ayin afterwards, once they made the wall, still we see Chazal say there wasn't Shechina. But in order to have Shechina, you have to have a closed off place, and that is why Rosh Shapiro used to say, we put on the doors to our homes Hashem's name Shakai. Shakai means up till here. Sha'amar Lolam Odai means here we have a closed off place for the Shechina. We have any opening to our house, we have Hashem's name there. We're making walls around our house. There has to be a choymas esh. Ah, Chal Yisrael say, Ani choyma v'shadai k'migdalois. I am a wall. Then I'll be a motzei shalom. I can find the place of the Shechina if I make a wall. We have to all think about this Asar B'Teves, when around the walls of Yerushalayim they placed the siege. We have to think about what are our walls. And Nehemiah saw the walls of Yerushalayim were in shambles. He said, this. He has to risk his life and turn to the king, Daryavesh, and speak to him about getting permission to rebuild the walls. May we all be zeichet to rebuild our spiritual walls of our homes, of ourselves, and to see Hashem rebuild the Choymas Eish around Yerushalayim. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry for the delay.